Vanessa Amorosi, absolutely everybody here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Happy hump day, folks. Wednesday, 16th of September, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. It's brilliant to have you along. Thanks for letting us hang out with you. How are you doing over there?
Not too bad at all in any way. How's things?
What's the weather like in your little box today?
It's very warm, as it always is. It's
lovely.
Roasting and over-toasted.
Just the way you like it.
I don't know. I'm still wearing swimwear to work in the middle of September.
Exactly. So. You should be delighted with yourself. The man who hates cold.
Pouring a coffee as we speak.
There you go. Try not to spill it everywhere.
For a change.
For a change.
I'm nearly there, Jim. It's nearly out of the glass. Oh, it's out of the glass. Out
I mean, yesterday was a strange sort of day yesterday.
How do you mean?
Weather-wise, where we were. There was, it was kind of like, it was roasting at times, right? The sun would come out and it'd be absolutely roasting.
Day, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was still sort of that. There was a threat of damp in the air. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get a threat of damp, thank God. No,
was like,
I didn't. I was very lucky then.
You know what I mean? You were like, no, will I take a chance on sitting out there now or not?
Oh, really? No.
It was a weird kind of a day.
Oh, I was very lucky. It was just bright sunshine.
Where you were?
Yeah.
See, and there you were giving out to me earlier on. In the week when I said, yeah, I think the prediction is this week, you know, there'll be some nice days and, you know, highs and blah, blah, blah. And you were like, ah, yeah, but it'll be sun with just the cloudy stuff and
that's
all
that.
That's
what it looked like and all. And then I got a surprise, I have
you
to
see,
say. Yeah,
unbelievable. Here's me
bringing
sunshine into your life. And
I don't know if you did it.
Determined to rain on your own parade even.
Look at him climbing all the it was the Holy God and all the brought it in.
Was it the Holy God?
No,
that's all right then. Right. Let's see how Holy God helps you out later on then.
You're a prophet of the Holy God.
Right, birthdays on the way, folks. 80s classic gold from Spandau Ballet. Here are Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Now, Margaret in Formoyne out there, she just described exactly what I was talking about. She said, very clammy with us.
Oh, I'm very disappointed for you.
Damp and sticky.
Very disappointed for you.
And yes, when the sun came out, blooming roasting.
Roasting, gorgeous.
Strange kind of a day.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, hopefully we'll get some. I forgot to listen to John, really. I do that a lot. I forgot to listen to John to see what he said about today.
Well, you had me annoying you about your storybooks and everything, so there you go. So
you
never stood a chance, really.
What can you do? Right, listen, let's get stuck into the old birthdays for you today. And nice batch for you today.
Yeah.
And I think this could be a nice batch
good
for you. Starting with somebody, we've spoken about this guy a little bit because he's had a resurgence in his career of late.
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh, Mickey Rourke, yeah.
Celebrating
he's made some fantastic movies over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, The Wrestler was like the big comeback, wasn't
brilliant
it?
Brilliant movie.
Won awards for everything.
Very depressing.
Yeah.
Very, very depressing.
Yeah.
But a great movie. Oh,
do you know what I saw him in, right? I know it's a really old movie, but remember they did that real stylized. Is it called? It's not called Sin City, is it? Or.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's the black and white one.
Yeah, mad comic book kind of stuff.
Great movie as well.
And he plays this indestructible character in it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And with a mad face, which, when you're talking about Mickey Rourke, it probably didn't take a lot of work to get it there.
To get him a mad face.
To the mad face stage.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, he put a lot of work into having a mad face. I think the problem is, no matter what movie he's in now, he's left with the mad face. I think that's the main problem. But he's a great story. I heard him doing one of those podcast interviews. Pure head case. He was a boxing guy and all of that. And he hangs out with Hell's Angels and all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And he didn't really know how to handle making money the first time. And he got
kind of a reluctant superstar.
Yeah, and I think he made $2 million for his first movie, whatever it was. And they gave him $2 million, so he bought a house for $2 million. And then he didn't work again for years. And he was like, oh my God. It's like I can't even pay the heating or anything. So he just had this huge big gap of no money. Nothing. And then he tried to sell it and he realised it wasn't really in a great area.
£2 million gap and living on cornflakes.
Yeah, and he was like, and he couldn't sell it. He was like, I can't believe I've done this to myself. Yeah, and he says,
brilliant.
I realised at that point, he goes, I was never going to be good with money like
him. Yeah, yeah.
But what age is he?
See, that's going to be tough now with a face like that. That could be any age.
And he's been around since forever. That was him and Rumblefish and all, was it? Like, yeah, black and white movies. Ah, no, he's not that old. He's about 58.
Yes, he is.
Right.
58. Right, what about David Copperfield?
Oh, the magician.
Yeah.
Jay for Coffee with Jay. I used to love watching his shows when I was young in the 80s.
Yeah, making elephants disappear. And
oh, he made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Buildings disappear.
And planes and all disappearing out of the sky and everything.
The most successful magician in history.
Yeah, he would be. Definitely. Absolutely. His stunts were here. And his flying. That was the one thing he did that no one else could do.
Make himself appear to fly.
Appear to fly. He was flying, Jim. David Copperfield was flying around the place.
He's a multi, like he's grossed. I know you can't go with a gross figure, but he's grossed over a billion.
Has he?
Yeah.
Over a billion.
Yeah. Now I know, obviously, that's, you know, but that makes, no matter what way you shake that down, that makes him a multi.
Oh my God. And what age is he? He's a pensioner and all. This is a pension. It's multi pension. He's about 66, is he?
64, David Copperfield. Right, this is a good one. Good old memory. Russ Abbott celebrating his birthday today.
Absolutely loved Russ Abbott's Madhouse.
Yeah.
It was the most stupid show. It was so stupid. It was so ridiculous. And so over the top. And I loved every bit of it.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I thought he was great. And that was a real... That was real Saturday night stuff.
It was, yeah. Oh, really was. And what was the song again? Who's going on Russ Abbott's Madhouse?
No, that doesn't ring a bell. For some reason, that doesn't ring a bell.
Russ Abbott's Madhouse.
Then he went into proper acting. Like he was Fagin in the West End, in Oliver.
Did he?
And now he's in Last... Well, I don't know if he's now in it, but he was in Last of the Summer Wine.
Well, at least you put it... I would have said he was in his 60s. He's definitely older than his 60s if he was in Last of the Summer Wine.
Yeah.
I think you have to be 10 years on your bus pass before you're allowed to even audition for Last of the Summer Wine.
It's mad that show is still going. Bloody hell.
Is it still on? Are they still making it?
And you know your man from Only Fools and Horses was in Last of the Summer Wine.
Jason?
No, the other lad. The lanky fella. Rodney.
Oh my God, are we that old that even he's in it?
Yeah.
Is he in his 70s now with Nicholas Lyndhurst?
Yeah.
Is he
well,
in
I don't
his
know 70s? If he is in the 70s. I don't know Nicholas Lyndhurst, but he was in Last of the Summer Wine.
That's terrible.
I know. That's a scary reflection on your own life.
Oh my God. I'd say Russ Abbott's about 73.
Yes, he is. You're doing very well. My suspicions are raised. But anyway.
You don't trust anything anymore.
No, not anymore. I don't for some reason.
But it's
very accurate all of a sudden. Anyway. Lloyd Grossman is
very
the next
not
one.
All of a sudden.
Lloyd Grossman.
Well, who lives in a gaff like mine?
Absolutely. And it's a significant birthday for Lloyd Grossman as well.
Oh, 80.
70.
A fart off life.
And then Neville Southall is the final one.
Absolutely love Neville Southall.
Neville Southall when he was kind of like...
Oh, we need to talk to John about this.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. When the great Everson side... He was regarded as the best goalie in the world for a while.
And he didn't start playing football till he was like 52 or something.
Well, not to mention the fact that he, like...
Do you remember the way he used to turn up?
He looked like, with all due respect now, I mean, obviously, I'm not exactly an athlete myself, but Neville Southall didn't exactly have the physique your average athlete.
You're joking. You had to give him, like, suspenders to keep his shorts up and his big bushy tash and all. All he was short of was his miner's helmet standing in the goal. Gas man.
He was great.
He was fantastic, and he was part of a great era in football and all. And then he went, he's became really into trans rights and everything. That became his thing.
What?
Yeah. He got onto Twitter and he decided he was really into...
Neville Southall.
I know what you're thinking. Neville Southall. And that was his thing on Twitter. For a good time there, he was all into, please educate me on... the rights of trans people and all of this stuff. This became his new fascination, his new thing. He lost all interest in Everton and got really into trans rights.
That's bizarre.
It was a real bizarre turn of events for him, of all people. You know, the guy who was like, you know, he looked like he kicked the head off in those in that Everton goal. Do you know what I mean? He looked like he should be carrying a sack of coal into the goal and
exactly.
starting a fire to keep warm on the January games.
Yeah. Anyway, Welsh great Neville Southall.
He was old when he got into it. He's like... He's like 69.
62 for Neville Southall.
Right. I really like Neville Southall.
He was great. That's the kind of like, that was the real, that's kind of match of the day to me now. Neville Southall is match of the day.
It was a different time. Like, I mean, Neville Southall was proof that back then, when you finished the game and you did well, you had celebration points.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, he'd still, Monday morning, he'd be there, you know, had a few celebration points there.
In the case of Neville Southall, it might be, to be honest with you, before I start a game, I like to have the odd quieting point.
Yeah, you know, settle the nerves.
Just to settle me down.
Settle the nerves, you know what I mean? It's like you need like the fuel you have for driving.
What? Queen's Radio Gaga and Flashdance from Irene Cara, 80s classic ahead of that. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim, just 19 minutes to 7 o'clock. Thanks for letting us hang out with you on this Wednesday, 16th of September. Good to have you along, folks. 087-188-0008 if you need to give us a shout. Dan in Cork. Now, not nice Dan 2.0.
Oh, right, the other one, Dan, yeah.
You know Dan, who's never short of a caustic word.
Captain Dan, the caustic man, yeah.
Yeah. Well, lads, finally, we got what the rest of the country needed. The Jackeens are to stay where they are. Happy days.
I don't know if that's it.
May be your reading of it, Dan, but it's open to interpretation.
We're still trying to figure it out. After yesterday's ultra fiasco, myself and Jim are just here. We're going through it, trying to figure it out.
And we can't make head nor tail of it.
So the recommendations is, one dub is, you're allowed to leave Dublin. As long as you only have interaction with one other household or something like that.
Is that the plan? Right.
That's the recommendation. Now, of course, these are guidelines. They're not laws or anything. So you're allowed if you have one other household.
Yeah.
And then if you're with your own household, people visiting. So if you're visiting within Dublin, up to six people from one family is allowed to visit your house. We don't know if that's in one day. We don't know if that's going forward.
As in forever. Like as in, my nominated family are.
Exactly, yeah. We don't know if that's the case. We don't know if there's three people in your family, do you have to find an extra three? Can it only be a family of six? If not, can they bring their pets? It was the most confusing thing ever. I have to say,
bizarre.
I couldn't stop laughing, though. You shouldn't be laughing, but when Stephen Donnelly goes, they say, oh my God, we have to ask questions. This isn't very serious. We need to ask questions. I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, but just before you go, no, I have to go. Can't hear you.
As soon as close of business, when the test came back negative, don't worry, everybody back to work.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. The thing about the pubs, I mean, the memes, you will have seen it, I'm sure yourself. It was like instantly the memes doing the rounds.
Yeah.
Of like the that meme they have of like the the train. Covered in people.
In India, yeah, where they're sitting on top of it.
Exactly.
On the side of it.
Basically saying, this would be the dart to Bray.
Oh my God.
It was weird.
Because that's what, right.
No pubs in Dublin, so literally anybody who's, you know, on a bus route or a train thing is just going to jump on a, you know, poor old Ashbourne and Selbridge and, you know.
Yeah, Bray especially,
and Bray
like
and
said, on
all
the
that sort of stuff are just going to get hammered.
Oh my God. God in heaven.
Mad stuff.
God speed everybody in the surrounding areas.
Yeah. Batten down the hatches.
And that's all just to save a tenner because they don't want to buy, you know, it's the 10 euro meal.
Yeah, they'd rather spend it on the fare.
Yeah, because there's pubs still open all over Dublin. It's just you have to spend the 10. Basically, you have to buy a ticket the size of a pizza to get into them.
To get into it, yeah. But it was, I mean, genuinely.
It was fiasco.
It was confusing is about the kindest thing you could have said.
Yeah, I know. Wait till you see the chart that was released yesterday.
Like, you've read the published thing, haven't you?
Like, you could make head nor tail of it.
Great.
And there's this thing, this chart has about, and it's to spell out the easiness of the levels.
Right.
I'm looking at the levels now. So level one, and you go down the chart.
Yeah.
Horizontal, or like, what's that one? Up and down.
Vertical.
Vertical. And then you go, horizontal will give you, like, what the situations would be. So visitors, right. Horizontal, down the other way for the levels, right?
Yeah.
So on level two, level two indoor, has big number 50.
Right.
And then straight underneath it, it says yes, up to 100 can attend indoor gathering. Like, so what is it then? Which one?
Yeah. So there's a very large 50, and then if you read the small print,
it says 100.
Right, okay.
And then there's the whole point that we spent a week working out levels 1 to 5.
Yeah.
And then we says, all right, Dublin, you're on 2.3 in a bit.
Yeah.
So, to say we're all feeling a little chaotic and worried this morning is putting it mildly, I think.
Yeah.
I like yesterday I was kind of going, I can't understand. Oh, yeah.
Somebody has sent us what they say is a handy guide. Hang on a second until I see who has sent us this. This is Claire. Claire has sent us a handy guide. Now, my only concern is that the handy guide you're already looking at?
That is the handy guide. Look at it there now, Jim. See level two, right?
Right.
Right, go down there to see to where it matches indoor. Level two.
Yeah, now read that.
Oh,
yeah, I see what you, I see what you mean.
Oh, they've changed it to... They've changed. Oh, no, they haven't.
No, they haven't. It says 50 in a big bold print, and then it says underneath it, up to 100 can attend indoor gatherings.
That's exactly it, yeah. So, would anybody like to clarify in the government exactly how this works when we're in a house or when we're in a restaurant? What's the rule?
But I think it's fair to say that's gone well.
Yes, yeah, so it hasn't. It's not remarkably clear either.
Right.
You know.
Tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to completely wash my hands of the whole affair.
Good man, wash your hands.
Yes, I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to sanitise them of the whole affair and get on with the show. Here's what we have for you today. We've got all of the regulars that you'd expect. In about an hour's time, we're going to have a go at the hit bit. It is huge cash. Take your mind off it for a while at least. €1,820.
Loads of money on the
I tell you something, you'd buy some amount of darts tickets and, you know, taxi fares and all that.
There's enough substantial meals now to get you into March with that.
So €1,820 on the hit bit in about an hour. As we always say, classichits.ie, good place to start on that. Of course, the breakfast table quiz. I think we had a score of...
10, weren't we? Were we into double numbers?
Nine.
Oh, nine, I beg your pardon.
9 yesterday on the breakfast table quiz. Midlands Park Hotel is where we want to send you for a fantastic break. So that's up for grabs. We'll give you details of that. And also... We're going to be talking sarcasm and how it's bad for your health.
Oh, really? Well, call me an ambulance.
Among other things.
I think it's at the moment, sarcasm is probably the most healthy activity you're allowed to involve yourself in.
Correct. And if you want to give us a shout for anything else, feel free at any stage. 087-188-0008. Tina Turner, simply the best. Here are Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for that. It's almost 7:10 on this Wednesday. Happy hump day, folks. Of course, on the way this hour, it is the hit bit. Everybody trying to get involved. It's huge cash every day now. €1,820 is the amount today. Classichits.ie, good place to start. And of course, Magic Mike is always standing by. If you want to let him know that you think you have us, don't give us your guess, by the way. That's always important.
Don't give us the guess. That's very important not to give us the guess because then you won't get through. And then when it is one on your guess, you'll be raging.
Exactly.
And you'll be down here banging on the door and we'll have to go, listen, Mike's in Galway now. You'll have to go all the way over there to kill him.
Anyway, it's on the way. If you want to get involved, 087-188-0008. As I say, Magic Mike standing by. Let him know that you want to play. Now, in the meantime... I did mention that, you know, we were literally the hottest trend on the planet before 7 o'clock. I may have stated that in a slightly dubious way to make it sound as though it was PJ and myself who were the hottest trend on the planet. But no, it's actually Classic Hits.
Classic Hits is the thing that everybody is going for. What is people listening to? During lockdown, during these troubled times that we all live in, we're all seeking a break and some sort of distraction in some way, right?
Mm.
And we all like listening to music. There's not a single person in the world doesn't like listening to music in some way. And this university in Belgium have done this huge survey. The University of Leuven, or Leuven, or if there's any Belgian people, I apologise for saying Leuven.
Yeah.
Or however it's said. And they've done this huge survey. 17 trillion songs have been played on Spotify. 17 trillion. Isn't that amazing? And this is across the UK, Italy, France, Spain, Belgium and Sweden. So it gives us a really good idea of how the world has changed its listening habits, right? And what are people turning to? What do people love listening to?
Classic hits.
Classic hits. Music from the 70s, 80s and 90s is where people have gone. They've run back to the nostalgic
stuff. Nobody sought out new music or anything like that. It was like literally go to the classic favourites.
Even the younger people, even people like who are in their 20s now, have started listening to what would be nostalgia for them.
Yeah.
Stuff from 3 and 4 years back.
Right, okay.
But the general move, the big shift, has been right back towards them.
To when there were better days.
Better days, Jim. Days we maybe didn't appreciate as being so much better at the time, but we certainly do now. And some of it, I mean, some of it you would imagine is predictable, some of it not so much, but there's a list of all these songs here. The top 10, actually, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, why not? I've got a few clips of some of them lined up here, so give us a rundown then. So these are supposedly the songs most played on Spotify across Europe.
Across Europe.
During the whole pandemic situation.
Yeah, and this is from 13 trillion songs.
Wow.
Like, you couldn't have a broader survey than this.
That's incredible.
So at number 10 was Mr. Brightside and the Killers. Which
right.
is, what a song that is.
Yeah. Now, that's actually the more modern end.
That's the more modern end. And as you'll notice, we start to, the closer we get to number one, the more backwards we go.
Right.
Thank God. Yeah.
The more backwards we
the
go.
The more backwards
that's
we go.
That's a great song. Mr. Brightside from the Killers. That would be a big favourite of mine.
Yeah, and it's sort of such a happy old tune.
Yeah.
You know, the sun is shining, you stick that in your ears, you'd nearly forget that we're living in a confused universe where you're allowed to go to parties with 50 in it, but you're only allowed two people you're related to. You can kiss your nan at mass, but you can't do it in the house, or whatever the rule is. Oh my God, I'm about to confuse myself so much, I don't know where I am. Snow Patrol and Chasing Cars, that's in there.
Right.
Queen, Don't Stop Me Now.
That
what
had
a
to
tune
be in
that
there.
Is. That's in there. That's the we're in the 70s now, of course we are, with Freddie Mercury. Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. That's
I'd say, in there. I'd say of the plays on Spotify, most of them were Mike's.
You would think so.
Most of the Oasis tunes belong to Mike.
I know. If only we could go back to those days now.
And Don't Look Back in Anger was there, and Wonderwall wasn't.
Wonderwall is the very next name song on the list.
I was just going to say.
The very next song on the list is Wonderwall.
I'd always have Wonderwall ahead of probably any other Oasis tune.
Yeah, so would I, except it's just that it got to the stage that every fluke that ever picked up a guitar
I know,
was singing.
Yeah.
And you couldn't walk down Patrick Street or Grafton Street or anywhere in Ireland without
yeah.
one busker doing the whole "Today is gonna be the day that you're gonna have to do the poo." It
yeah.
was like it got a bit tedious for a while. The Beatles, Here Comes the Sun.
Oh right, I have a bit of that.
Little Lonely.
Surprised a little bit by that. Again, are there any more Beatles tunes in the list?
No.
Wow.
There is, but they're much further down. Like, you're going down into
so that was the 50s. That was the top Beatles tune.
It's the top Beatles tune. It's because it's the summer one, isn't it? It's because we've been in the summer. People just want to focus on sunshine.
Just to, yeah, and sort of feel good.
I do
God,
love that song.
So many Beatles songs I'd probably put up there ahead of that, but anyway.
Me too in the winter, but in the summer I think I'd go with that one.
Right, so the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. What number was that?
That is 1, 2, 3. There's no numbers on the side, which makes it very hard, to be honest with you. It's number 5. We've got two Fleetwood Macers next.
Wow.
Fleetwood Mac Everywhere.
Right.
And Fleetwood Mac Go Your Own Way.
You can go your own way.
Better choice.
Oh, what a tune.
Yeah, definitely, they got that the right way round.
They really did, yeah.
That's a prop, and it's a good driving song as well.
Brilliant driving song. And you can't ruin that with buskers. You'd be some lad banging that out of your guitar sitting on the side of the road.
Right, so Go Your Own Way, Fleetwood Mac. Yeah, what was that? I've forgotten where
number
was.
That's number 3.
3, wow.
So Electric Light Orchestra with Mr. Blue Sky, of course. Raw, that was always going to be up there.
Don't you know, it's a beautiful new day. Hey,
yeah, cracking tune, to be fair. At any stage, that's always a cracking tune.
And now,
so that was there was a definite theme then. Here Comes the Sun, Mr. Blue Sky.
It's because
people literally.
It's because the summer. It's the summer,
yeah.
And it's uplifting music. It's the music that people want to hear. That gives them a lift. That you know, takes their mind off things. Which is why the number one tune really surprises me, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not exactly like the most happiest tune I've ever heard. Like a good old song, but it's Africa by Toto.
I know what you mean, yeah.
I'm surprised when you have all this happy,
I would have thought
happy,
Mr. Blue Sky would have been ahead of it.
Yeah, definitely. When you have all these happy, happy tunes, then you have a fella just going, oh, is it still raining? I don't know.
Although there's
it's
something
a great
sort
song,
of,
though.
There is something sort of escapism about that.
I suppose, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but there's something about it. It's mad though, isn't it? I suppose the nostalgia thing is totally understandable, that you would yearn for sort of like a time when you just felt better.
Of course it is.
And music is always one of those. Music is one of those things. You know the way they say like a smell can bring you back to a time and place. It just hits you instantly.
Yeah, and
songs can do that.
Songs can absolutely do that. And like, you know what I mean, I literally heard that song and I remembered me days in the Serengeti there straight away. It came back to me like, you know what I mean, I was like, yeah, boom, I'm there, I can see myself.
Oh wow.
I've only ever been to Africa once.
Have you been to Africa?
Well, Northern Africa. It doesn't count, does it? Morocco. It's different, isn't it? You don't think of that as being Africa.
Davey says that that tune by Toto is absolutely amazeballs.
It is absolutely amazeballs. I'm just surprised it was number one in this sort of feel-good nostalgia list.
Somebody was saying, though, of the Toto songs, and I think I might agree with this, Hold the Line would have been a better song. You know that one?
And very apt for the time we're in. Hold the Line! How many people are allowed in a house at the one time? You know.
And then, you see, that's the reaction obviously people had. Because look, another one in there from Catherine saying, fab tunes, happy times, happy memories, lifts the spirits.
Isn't it gas?
That's exactly what it's all about.
And that is what it's all about. I have to say, when I do be listening to music, you know, just when I want no voices, because there's a lot of that going on with me these days. Mm. I used to always be listening to the chat and all. It has to be two lads talking inane nonsense, which I love.
Yeah.
It has to be the sort of nostalgic stuff. I've realised only by reading this that I have been following that pattern. I've been listening to all stuff from...
I have to say,
listening to all the old ska tunes and everything again. It's
because we're surrounded by music, you know, when we do the show or whatever, I prefer listening to the talky heads. You know what I mean?
I'm with you on the old, like, if you know... Yeah, but I don't want to hear them talking about anything serious.
Ah, no.
I don't want to be hearing...
No, because like the audiobooks and the podcasts
all
and whatever.
All of that,
by the way, that recommendation you gave me for that podcast, I know we're drifting off the thing, but that was brilliant. I'm two episodes in.
It gets
about the Irish lad.
It's fantastic. That's fantastic. Nobody's Own. If anybody likes a bit of Murder, I have to say, it's very good.
Just be right up your street.
Does be right
but
up
yeah,
your
no,
street.
I'm much more into the audiobooks and the podcasts and
yeah, it takes me away.
I wouldn't listen to a whole load of coronavirus.
No, I'm listening to one about Berlusconi now, and it's mad because it feels like it couldn't possibly be a true story.
Bunga Bunga.
That's the name of the podcast. I'll tell you something, Bunga Bunga is nothing on Toto Africa.
Tracy's nominated the song The Voice by John Farnham as her kind of her lockdown tune.
What a great tune.
Yeah.
What a great tune. For such a chanter.
That's an interesting one. What if anybody has, like, I don't know if I could pin it down to one single song. But if anybody has an actual tune that they found, or a...
What's your go-to tune these days?
Or if you found yourself playing something that you wouldn't normally play, like if you've dragged out an album or started listening to something on Spotify or something that you wouldn't normally have, like, is there a trend? Have you gone back to something?
Have you gone back, yeah? What's your...
I'd be curious, always.
Guilty pleasure of the classic hit time.
And while you're doing that, we're about to indulge PJ Gallagher in his own guilty pleasure.
There's nothing guilty about this. This is the best song that Sarah's ever written in the history of the world, in the history of life itself.
There you go. No, if PJ Gallagher had been consulted in this particular survey, no question what would have been in there.
I think I could just listen to this endlessly on a loop until the restrictions are over. I'm thinking, so how did you get on? I'd say, to be honest with you, it was brilliant.
Right, time for you to do your bit. Here we go. Michael Bolton, how can we be lovers here at Classic Hits, 25 past 7. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thanks for all of the WhatsApps as well. People have been WhatsApping in the songs that they've found themselves listening to, kind of like just, you know, songs that they necessarily wouldn't have expected to find themselves listening to. In other words, stuff a bit out of the norm. Like, for example, Selma's been on, and now she's just deleted that message.
She had sent a message.
Anyway, what else we got? Somebody's has been Shaggy. It wasn't me.
Oh,
from
God.
D.
See, this is it. It's all the stuff that sort of lifts you or at least distracts you. Nobody wants to listen to the heavy stuff anymore.
Yeah, Old Town from Phil Lynott, from
Great
Alan and Ennis.
Oh,
he's found
God.
Himself listening to.
Do you think he sounds like he's saying the old towel, though? He's like, Where is just my old towel?
If you're going to say anything in the least bit derogatory
I'm
about
not.
Old Town for Phil Innes, you may shut your mouth or I will turn down your fader.
I'm just saying it sounds that he's looking for an old towel to dry himself.
Hey! Roy Orbison, I drove all night. Somebody says they can't stop listening to since lockdown started. My go-to song, if this is Stephen and Kingswood, has been You're My Mate.
By Right Said Fred. Oh, that's such a silly song.
That's fantastic.
You're my mate and I will stand by you. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see what else. Radiohead.
And Linkin Park.
Yeah. Radiohead, Creep.
Really?
Yeah.
To me now, I always found that song sort of depressing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Definitely a bit of UB40, says
Get
Adam.
Get out with you, Adam, with your nonsense. If you ever wanted to feel worse, that's what you listen to.
Life is a Highway from Tom Cochrane. Great. And John Parr, St. Elmo's Fire.
Now you're talking. That's proper, you know, that's when you're driving in the car, screaming your head off, singing at the top of your lungs.
That's Eridian Glasnevin has been listening to that. Ahaz, Take On Me.
Great stuff as well.
Linda and Finglas listening to Hanson's M-Bop.
Oh, M-Bop, tick-tock. Yeah.
And there's, God, I'll tell you something, it wouldn't exactly be uplifting, but in fairness, what a tune, what an album, Brothers in Arms.
What's that though?
The Dire Straits album.
Oh, that?
Yeah, from Ado.
Yeah, very good. That's real music though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's music that takes itself very seriously. That's your man Mark Knopfler and all saying, how dare you laugh at my ball patch and perm.
Who else? This is Antoinette was on to say she's been listening to the Stylistics.
Oh my God, that's gone way back.
Yeah, yeah. She's blaming Enda Murphy for it because he played it on... You know that Sunday love songs thing? Sunday love songs.
Yeah, with Enda Murphy.
Something at love songs and Sunday.
They named the Stylistics after me.
Somebody's texting Baby Shark.
How you go away over that?
I have a feeling that might have been forced on them.
Yeah, I think
Fran,
so.
Fran may have had that forced on them
by
the kids. But anyway, yeah, look, sure, let us know. Maybe we'll dig out a few and try and get them on. Obviously, maybe not in full. What with our €1,000 guarantee
of
repeats and everything.
Oh, we'd be causing loads of trouble.
Oh, there'd be pandemonium. Pandemonium there would be. Sorry, I spotted somebody texting in Foster and Allen and I was intrigued there.
Oh, stick that on. Stick on a bit of Foster and Allen.
Right, come on, look, we're miles late. God,
John's
going to be going bananas now because the news is going to be late. Anyway, you can keep it coming. 087-188-0008. Yeah, Mark Morrison returning to Mac here at Classic Hits. Final call on the hit bit, 087-188-0008. Let Magic Mike know if you fancy playing today. Listen, thanks a million as well for all of the nostalgic songs that you've kind of turned to. We will see if we can dig out a few more maybe before the end of the show, play a few clips from those ones. That these are the kind of songs that you sort of, you know, you decided just for no, you don't understand necessarily even why, but you had an urge to listen to these kind of songs outside of maybe your normal listening.
Yeah,
because that's what the lockdown thing was all about, wasn't it?
It looks like Europe-wide people have gone back to listening to classic hits. They've done studies on trillions of songs and it seems that Europe-wide we're all going back to... 70s, 80s, 90s music.
And it all seems to be in an attempt to have a little bit of a kind of a feel-good thing going on at a time when everybody needs a little bit of a pick-me-up. And actually, this Sunday, by the way, especially since a lot of the songs did tend to have a sort of a summer vibe, didn't they?
Oh, they did.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Mr. Blue Sky, Here Comes the Summer, the Beatles, all that stuff, yeah.
And this Sunday, HB are going to be celebrating Ice Cream Sunday. Was checking the weather for that, actually. Hope it's going to be good.
It looks all right, actually.
Happy
yeah.
days. Ice Cream Sunday. HB's Ice Cream Sunday is happening this Sunday, the 20th of September. And the idea is that HB are going to be donating 10 cents from every multi-pack sold on Ice Cream Sunday. And 10 cents will be going for everyone sold to Down Syndrome Ireland. So it's a cracking cause. And you can donate, actually, yourself to Down Syndrome Ireland all week if you use their website, downsyndrome.ie/donate. But certainly, if you pick up a HB multipack this coming Sunday on Ice Cream Sunday, you know you're doing a bit of good as well.
I'm just looking at the national outlook of the weather, and it does look like it'll be a nice day, indeed.
Happy day.
So
perfect
a great day for ice cream,
for
stuff HB. In your face. Multipacks, 10 cent donation, you know what to do. Get all into that. Get your ice cream into you. Down Syndrome Ireland are a great charity.
Yeah.
They do great work for years and years and
you
years.
Were saying you had a sort of a connection with somebody.
I did, yeah. Aidan Lynham was a good friend of mine and
right.
he was very, very involved with them.
Brilliant.
So I'd be very happy to support this. And if you can, get onto your social media and share it there as well. There's a hashtag going around. It is HB Ice Cream Sunday.
That's
so
exactly
hashtag that, stick it there. And maybe tag three of your friends and try and get them to spread the word as well because they do great work and it's so hard to make any sort of cash for any charities at the moment. Of course, we're not allowed to come together.
And literally, you're getting to eat ice cream.
You're getting the ice cream. It's the easiest
work. It's not exactly a hardship.
Yeah, you've never been asked to do something so simple for something so good.
So there you go. This coming Sunday, the 20th of September, Ice Cream Sunday with HB. 10 cent being donated from every multi-pack sold on that day to Down Syndrome Ireland. And you can check it out on downsyndrome.ie/donate.
Classic hits. Classic hits.
And now, the Hit Bit with Supermax, home of the deliciously fresh chicken breast sandwich. Always a hit.
Hit Bit. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit Bit. The Hit Bit is worth 1,820 quid. It's the biggest Hit Bit I think we've ever had on the regular basis. It's huge money at 1,820 quid. Here's what it sounds like. And Dave Murphy's going to have a go first. Hiya, Dave.
Morning, lads. How are you doing?
Oh, good, Dave. What's your story? Whereabouts are you in the world?
Oh, just outside Wokes tonight and they're going here now. So.
And where, that's Dublin, is it?
Yeah, Dublin bus, yeah.
Ah, oh, Dublin bus. Brilliant.
Ah, yeah, good. Yeah, you're one of the lads in the Dublin bus garage in Clontarf.
Oh, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So I see I get the occasional bit of abuse, obviously, and I love us. Thank you.
Proper order.
No problem.
You're not the man, Dave, who spotted him late one morning, are you?
Oh, no, no, Dave, that wouldn't be. I wouldn't
rant on PJ, no, Dave, no. Yeah, it was great. I was coming out, one of the lads from the station there today just looked at me and said, morning, when he came in here, there was a text message in, heading you getting into your car this morning. Giving me the grief.
Was there not a lad who, when you were walking out, he was tapping his watch or something?
Oh, that's right, he was tapping his watch. Yeah, hurry up, he goes. Yeah, that's true as well.
Deadly. Right, Dave, listen, hopefully we can give you this cash. It's, as PJ said, it's one of the biggest ones we've ever had. €1,820. What are you going to go for, mate?
Tom Petty, Free Falling.
Love
good
that song.
Tune, good tune.
Fingers
right,
crossed.
Let's head to the west where Micheál is standing by.
Okay, well listen, Dave, I would love nothing more to give you this cash, but unfortunately it is wrong. I'm sorry, Dave, I'm so sorry. And I know you, like so many people, are going to be saying, Mike, give us a clue, give us a clue. But I won't back down. I'm not giving up.
Oh, my God. Sometimes it's the warm up to us.
It is. It's the
sometimes.
The setup.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
the setup gets you every time, doesn't it? Listen, Dave. Safe driving or whatever it is you're doing today in Dublin bus. Take care, man. Cheers.
Right. See you, Dave. Take care. Valerie Shine is waiting on the other line. Hey, Valerie.
Hi, PJ. How are you?
How are you doing, Valerie? Who's that with you? You have a full car, would you?
That's my husband and grandchild.
Oh, very good. What's the names?
Derek Shine and JJ.
JJ, all right, good stuff, good stuff. Where are you this morning as well, Valerie?
I'm in Tipperary, just outside Enniloz now at the moment, dropping him to work.
Oh, very, very good, right. Well, let's try and give you something to cheer about in the car. What do you reckon this is, Valerie?
Gnarls Barkley, Crazy.
Oh, okay, yeah, remember that. Right. That was the MySpace days. Remember on MySpace, everyone had that as their profile song.
That was a huge song at the time, all right. What do you think, Michael? Gnarls Barkley and Crazy.
I tell you something, lads. I mean, this Hit Bit really is going on a long time. Do you remember when it started? Because I remember. I remember when. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
It's wrong.
Valerie, are you all right?
Jeepers. Okay. I quite enjoyed that, I have to say.
It wasn't bad.
Valerie, take care of yourself. Have a good day.
Nope.
Cheers.
See you, Valerie.
Bye-bye
take
then.
Care, everyone.
Right. I did. And I have to confess, I didn't see that coming. I thought he was going to cop out and just do, Asha, that's crazy, or it's crazy, isn't it, or whatever. But no, I like it. I remember. Very good, Michael. Very good.
Thank you.
Just something about his monotone singing voice. And half mixed with his own laughter. That really does it.
Yeah, fair to him, he does entertain himself wonderfully.
He does. He's great.
I'm having a ball here, at least.
Good stuff, Michael. Thanks for that. Right, Magic Mike, live from the West this morning, 087-188-0008. If you want to have a go at the Hit Bit a bit later on, Niall Boylan at 1:45 this afternoon. We'll put the cash on the line once again, all €1,820.
He will do, so get on to him. So you know yourself, he might do puns. You wait all day for a pun and two come at once.
Yeah, that's the song that apparently people across Europe were listening to most during the whole sort of lockdown pandemic time. People went back to the classic hits, and that's apparently the one that was most listened to. What did you say? 17 trillion songs were surveyed or something? Spotify.
It was huge amounts, and that was the number one. That's the one, that is the song that keeps coming up over and over again that people are turning to over lockdown to get over their lockdown blues.
Mad stuff. There you go. Toto in Africa here at Classic. It's 8:10. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. And thanks for all of the WhatsApps. There was a huge selection of WhatsApps coming in with people saying about the song that they sort of turned to, if you know what I mean. It was a little bit outside of maybe their normal listening. And it kind of, I don't know, came back into their head or somehow they ended up sort of listening to it during that time. There's loads of selection. We may get a chance to play a few more before the end of the show.
Hopefully, yeah.
But talking about things that make you feel good, one of the things that makes you feel good is not to make yourself feel bad.
Isn't that right, yeah?
Keeping in good physical and mental health.
State of mind and all of that, yeah. And you have to look after yourself physically and mentally. And that's why you should probably stay away from the sarcasm. So they say sarcastic and irritable people might be putting themselves in danger, genuine danger. So this study of 2,300 heart attack survivors,
right,
has found that those people who display hostile character traits, including, and very much including, sarcasm, cynicism, resentment, impatience, irritability, all of that sort of carry on, they are at much higher risk of a second heart attack than those who don't.
Wow.
Now, you probably know all this because you're a genius, Jim.
Is that...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right.
Look at Jim, he's all there. Oh, sure, I know all of this, Professor Jim and everything. You know what I mean? It's a wonder he didn't wear his stethoscope in this morning. Yeah. So people that carry on the way I'm carrying on now, very much higher risk of health problems.
Wow.
So if you're hostile
I suppose that all ties in with having just like a... The opposite of a positive mental attitude. If you're somebody who's always looking at negativity or always finding the bad stuff or the negative side or something, or the cynical side or something, it's...
Yeah. And they always do say, what is this, sarcasm is the lowest form of wit and all that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I agree with that. Some sarcastic remarks are very funny. Andy Bad News is a classic for me one of the times. He goes, are you really that stupid or are you naturally just gifted? You know, like, you know.
Yeah.
Does it take practice?
See, that's the other thing as well. You know, sometimes it's kind of like when you're trying to be sarcastic, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of examples of sarcastic.
Okay, well,
opposed to just being kind of like, you know, just ridiculing somebody. Like,
well, I think it's kind of
the same. It's when you sort of say something, but you're saying something positive, but you mean the opposite. It's like...
But if you say something like...
You know everything you do. Is that sarcasm?
It's like... Oh, your shirt. Wow, look at that shirt, yeah. This is the ugliest shirt I've ever seen. But hey, it complements your face perfectly.
I don't know. Is that sarcasm?
It's not so... It's fine. Now I'm forgetting what sarcasm is. Now it's getting harder to decide
right.
What it is.
Right. Tell me more about this story and I'll look up
the
official.
Medicine. Help me that. You know what I mean? So your face is a great thing to have around these days. Would that be one?
I don't know.
No, it is. Like, your sarcasm is basically every episode...
Right, it's the use of irony to mock or convey contempt.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that not what I was
doing? So the use of irony, yeah. So it's a bit like, of course you're the most intelligent man I know, PJ.
Yeah. I mean, this is... Why is this getting so difficult?
I know.
Like, sarcasm to me as well is what happens in EastEnders, right? Every single episode of EastEnders is basically nothing but sarcasm. So it's like, oi, can you look after the stool while I run down the pub for a minute? Oh, you want me to look after the stool? Why are you in the stool and
exactly.
You're in sweet toilet while you're out there?
I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll clean your ass while you're gone.
Seeing as though I'm the one with all the time in the world right now. That to me is like sort of sarcasm.
Yeah. There's another version here that says sarcasm is a sharp, bitter or cutting expression or remark, a bitter jibe or taunt. It may employ ambivalence, although not necessarily ironic. Does that help at all?
Not really. Why is this getting so difficult? When you're actually trying to think of what it is, it becomes very difficult, doesn't it?
It does. Because it's like that thing you said about irony before. Remember you were slagging off Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, where...
And you kept saying, she's not saying anything ironic.
No,
it's just bad luck.
Inconveniences. Of loads and spoons and all I want is a knife. There's nothing ironic about that. I'm just really... It's just an awful inconvenience.
Right.
So it's a... Now I'm starting to really struggle. Don't just... This is very difficult, isn't it? Of course, you would know all this. You would put me on the spot like this, wouldn't you? Look at you, Professor Jimmy over there.
No, that's just you abusing
let's
me.
Let's just let him square him because I'm the teacher.
That's That's you just abusing me. That's not even sarcasm. That's just general abuse.
Is it not kind of the same thing? No.
I gotta say, I'm looking to see here. Right, so people are texting in to try and give us examples, right?
Yeah, okay.
So the sarcastic priest and Father Ted, for example, said, "Would you like some tea?" "No, I'd rather die of thirst." In other words, "Of course I want some tea." You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah, okay.
It's that sort of thing.
Ah, no, sure, I'd rather die of thirst over here.
Would you like some tea? "No, I always carry this cup around with me." Or what? You know what I mean? That'd be sort of a sarcastic remark, where you use a bit of irony.
Yeah, so like someone says, so if I said, "Here, Jim, oh God, do you want me to do you a favour?" And you says, yeah, would you shut your mouth there for a minute? Would that be sarcasm?
No, that's just being abusive.
I'm struggling to see the difference, man. I'm struggling
well,
to
look
see
it,
the difference.
It's good, because you should avoid it. It's bad for your health.
Well, being sarcastic.
Yeah, I tell you what I'm going to do while
I'll tell you something, I'll live forever, because I can't get my head around it at all. And it turns out, it seems you're having a great time even reading about it.
I am. I'm going to actually look up some, just to try and give us an example, right? I'm going to look up some of the best sarcastic remarks, right?
Right, yeah, okay, do that. And see if you can come up with anything. But I have a funny feeling that if you read them coldly, they're all just going to sound like abuse.
Well, probably, yeah. I'm going
to
see if
like
I can find it.
Like if you said to someone...
Oh, gee, but why are websites all full of this blooming heck?
Like if you said to someone, like, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, right, as I'm saying.
Right.
If I says, I tell you, Jim, what doesn't kill you is very disappointing. is that sarcastic? Or is that just abusive? Because it's just, a play on
what
words.
What doesn't kill you is very disappointing.
Obviously, I don't mean it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to really put a sort of a definition on it.
Right.
You're just... Googling things now.
I am. And it's, I tell you something, it's tough to find it, to find decent examples of it. Anyway, look, I'll come back to it.
I think it depends on what part of the world you're from. I think, like, sarcasm for Irish people is just saying the exact opposite. With a little bit of a funny thing in your voice.
Yeah.
I think that's what sarcasm is, just saying the opposite with something in your voice. So no matter what it is, you ask me a question, I say the exact opposite to try and make you feel bad. That's what I think sarcasm is. I think in the States, it's like a play on words and different things. It's like, what doesn't kill you makes me very disappointed. And that's why they don't get sarcasm, because they're completely insulting each other all the time.
Right, feel free to be sarcastic.
Yeah,
on WhatsApp.
You're always free to do everything around here.
Yeah, Mr. Jones, Counting Crows here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim, 8:22 on this Wednesday. Thank you so much for letting us hang out with you folks. Much appreciated. Lots of people have WhatsApped in, PJ, with examples of sarcasm.
Yes.
It's Luca from Lucan, for example, has really summed it up, right? Based on the conversation you and
Luca
I...
Luca from Lucan, well, he's hardly from Palmerstown now, is he, with a name like that?
He's perfectly summed it up based on the conversation you and I have just had there trying to explain it.
My God.
He's WhatsApped in. Well, that was really insightful.
Wasn't it?
There
wasn't
you go.
It just,
there's
I
sarcasm
mean,
for
talking
you.
Talk about a fine definition.
Yeah.
It was like two fellas lost in the woods there trying to figure it out.
And then, hang on a second, this is in from Jamie, who says, a simple example of sarcasm would be that thing where you walk into a supermarket or shop or something, you go, sorry, do you work here? And they go, no, I'm just stocking these shelves for the good of me health.
Yes.
That's
so this
sarcasm.
Comes down to right where right. I was saying. So the Irish definition of sarcasm to me
right.
is you say the exact opposite with a snotty voice. Right, that's it.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what's that there now? Matt, I've been waiting
yeah.
for
so
you.
So it's like, that's mother sarcasm. So the kid is saying, ma'am, I've been waiting for you. I'm starving. And she goes, really? Why, did I take the kitchen with me?
Yeah.
Is what I mean. That's Irish mammy sarcasm.
Where's an actual Irish mammy probably go, why did God take your hands off you and stop you from making a sandwich?
For example, there's you, right, claiming to have such an insightful kind of relationship with Cork.
Yes.
Right, and you missed out on this one. Cork people saying, I will, yeah.
Oh, it means no.
Mean
yeah.
absolutely
it
no.
It means no, yeah. Cork is the strangest place when it comes to slang like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I will, yeah. Oh, I will, yeah. I will, all right, yeah.
There's also a very good one here. This is an example of sarcasm from Joe in Cork. Morning, lads. Listen, I wonder would PJ ever think of going to college and getting his PhD? Brains to burn, that fella.
Yeah, I don't see the sarcasm in the comment, though. I don't know what the sarcasm is. I'll tell you something, Joe.
That's very, very insightful, Jody.
I'll tell you what I will. I will, yeah.
Phil Collins, Phil Bailey, Easy Lover here at Classic Hits. 21 minutes to 9. Breakfast table quiz on the way. 10 to beat. A great stay at the Midlands Park Hotel. Up for grabs. 087-188-0008. If you wanted to be you playing today, Magic Mike is standing by. Keen to hear from you. Let him know if you fancy a bash at the breakfast table quiz. In the meantime... Apparently, something that is close to our hearts in the morning here.
So. Yeah.
In fact, yeah, we had to do a special emergency run yesterday, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, had to do a coffee run. We're mad for coffee here. It's safe to say we would not perform at all.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for coffee,
it is literally it sustains us. It gets us through.
It does. Yeah.
The morning.
It does, and then you would imagine that, of course, it being the first thing you drink in the morning. Wouldn't exactly be a night owl's kind of a drink. In fact, it keeps you up and the whole lot.
Ew.
So in surveys and studies that are utterly pointless, we read them out sometimes, this to me has to be one of the most pointless ever. So caffeine lovers, they say, are much more likely to enjoy their daily cappuccino or latte or espresso, whatever they're into, when there's less noise around. So scientists, right, what they did, they got people and they exposed them to various sort of levels of noise as they enjoyed different cups of coffee. And shockingly, it was perceived that people seem to like coffee more in a cafe quiet environment than they do in a noisy environment. It seems that they seem to think that the coffee they're drinking is probably of a higher quality. Like, you know what I mean? So
right.
The quieter the surroundings of the person, the more sort of expensive and likely they are to think, oh, this is a very good coffee, you know. Rather
right.
than if they were, you know, what sort of an experiment is this?
So you could summarise that by saying people like to have a coffee, a quiet coffee. That's what you're basically saying.
Somebody has
done a scientific survey to say people quite enjoy having a nice quiet coffee.
Yeah, and they say, oh, loud noise, yeah. Because, have we ever, of course, we knew this already. When did you ever see stag parties rolling around the cities of Dublin going, all right, lads, first round of cappuccinos is on me.
Correct.
Let's get the lattes in.
I find whenever I feel like I want to go for coffee, I generally try and find kind of roadworks or something to stand beside.
Same here.
Nothing helps me enjoy my coffee more than the sound of a pneumatic drill.
Oh, there's nothing. Nothing gets the day started better than a lovely latte sitting on the side of the M50 with my head on the grass, just to really get that sound in when the trucks go past.
I mean, there's no news in this. I find standing very close to where planes take off.
Lovely,
my
isn't
God,
it?
I tell you something. Your latte would never taste better.
Oh yeah, yeah. Who doesn't love a cappuccino and death metal turned up to 20 on the old earphone?
That's bizarre.
Well, you know, and they say loud
noise. Surely the whole idea of things like that, and if you could apply the same to a cup of tea or whatever, I suppose.
Damn.
But, you know, like the idea of a coffee is exactly that. It generally tends to be a break from something. You know, let's take a break from something. Let's grab a coffee or whatever. It's a relaxing thing.
It's the whole idea.
You know what I mean?
So
they poured money and science into finding out that people enjoy a quiet coffee.
Yeah, so your man has gone back now. He's after saying, you're not going to believe it. I'm after finding out. People do prefer to have coffee in quieter environments. Really. That's
wow.
how much we paid. We paid that much. And they were like, well, why is that? Well, they reckon that it's loud noise has an effect on a perceived natural sweetness. Right?
Oh,
so
right.
The louder something is, the more distorted our taste buds make the sweetness of that feel or taste, if
yeah.
you know what I mean. Meaning it could have a knock-on effect for coffee lovers who, if they have to have their coffee, this is the only interesting part of the whole study, by the way, if they have to have their coffee in a noisy environment, so say you bring your coffee into a noisy workplace every day.
Like, yeah.
You're much more likely...
Say prior to the lockdown and all that, when you were in the studio with me.
Yes.
And I'd be trying to have a coffee and you'd be bleating on at me.
And I'd be harping
in that environment.
Know, what is sarcasm, Jim? You know what I mean? What's the say? I don't understand. Is sarcasm when you when you fart and do
and
the
I'd
noise
be think, and thing? And I'd be thinking, there's something wrong with this coffee.
You'd be like, yeah, this needs sugar is what you'd be thinking. Because apparently the more stressful the environment you work, the more sugar you add into your coffee, or the noisier the environment, the more sugar you add, because
wow.
it messes with your sweetness abilities and all.
God, so I wonder, could we do our own little 5-minute survey on that? Wonder if we found out, right?
Yeah.
Whether people who work
good idea, yeah.
in a noisy environment, like a really noisy factory or a really noisy office or a Yeah. I don't know, or a creche.
Or they sit with somebody who's very annoying all day.
Do they take sugar?
Do they take sugar in their coffee as opposed
versus
to people
who are librarians?
Yeah, who wouldn't? That's an interesting thing to. Yeah, that's good.
Let's have one of our 5 minute surveys. Right, 087-188-0008. What's it? Just let us know. Is it noisy or quiet? Just put noisy or quiet. And
how many sugars?
Yeah, or sugar or not.
There you go,
right.
Yeah.
So if you're, like, if we get a load of noisy and sugar, that'll prove it.
Yeah, and if we get a load of quiet and no sugar, then that proves it as well.
As well.
We're looking for people in the valley. You want your librarian to say, nothing to do, six sugars.
Then that would disprove.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, so let us know. Are you in a noisy environment and do you take... Oh, look, there you go. Selma straight off the Mac. Quiet, no sugar. That supports
it. See, it supports the thing. And lucky you take no sugar.
I mean, what could possibly
stress you around in here anyway?
Well, exactly.
You know what I mean? You're so lucky that you get to do all the work in a quiet space while I follow you around. I mean, how strong would that be stressful?
You
get the best friend ever and you get to do everything. What a great time it is for you.
I should really take up sugar.
You should. Yeah. Is that why you dissolve biscuits into your coffee?
Great song. My favourite game, The Cardigans, here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. I tell you, our 5 minute survey has had a kind of an unexpected result.
It has, hasn't it?
Well, because basically the result we seem to have found is very few people take sugar.
Utter nonsense.
It's like, it appears as though, like, there's a lot of the quiet, kind of, you know, no sugar type people that we were kind of, that would have supported the survey.
Yeah,
but there's also a lot of, yeah, no, I work in a noisy environment. I still don't take sugar, though.
Generally, most people, regardless of their environments, tend not to take sugar at all.
That seems to be it. Sugar doesn't seem to be too popular anymore.
I had a feeling this survey was a load of utter nonsense.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next dog gets the award. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Julie Kilmartin's online revision courses and weekly classes, bringing her amazing team of teachers to your home at the click of a button. CKES.ie.
Now, listen, I have good news.
Yes.
Okay, even if you don't win on the Breakfast Table Quiz this week, I have some good news.
All
because
right.
I've been saying, right, that this autumn package that they have at Midlands Park Hotel, okay, it's the bed and breakfast, it's the bubbles, it's the chocolate.
It's the whole lot.
Right? And I've been saying that it would cost you €89 per guest. But I was wrong, PJ.
Yes?
It was €89 for the pair of you.
Ah, even better still, sure.
Oh my God.
Literally twice as good.
Fantastic deal. You can check it out on MidlandsParkHotel.com. B&B, bubbles and chocolates from €89 for the pair of you. And we have a fabulous day there for you to enjoy. It's just a short drive off the M7, about 45 minutes from Dublin. And as I say, you can check out all of the details on their website, MidlandsParkHotel.com. 10 to beat at the moment.
10 to beat at the moment, so 11 or more will put you into the lead. And Jennifer Tracy's going to go this morning. How are you, Jennifer?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all. How are you, more importantly? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good. Just getting ready to drop my daughter off to school.
Oh, very good. Where are you? Are you in Dublin or where are you?
Yeah, Kilnamana. She goes to St. Kevin's, Kilnamana Girls School.
And what's her name, Jennifer?
Her name is Daisy. She's in first class.
Ah, right, okay. Well, hopefully Daisy has a fantastic day. Hopefully you have a fantastic day with us now.
Thank
you. The next 60 seconds wins you a fantastic breakaway, fingers crossed.
Indeed, yeah. Daisy can route along now. She can help you all she wants as well.
I don't know if she'll be more of a hindrance, but we'll see.
Brilliant. Right, listen, Jennifer, the best of luck. 60 seconds, here we go.
In what county was Conor McGregor born?
Dublin.
What is the nickname used by Tom Cruise in the movie Top Gun?
Maverick?
Yes, who succeeded Mick McCarthy as the Irish football manager?
Succeeded?
Who's next, yeah?
Oh, was it Niall Quinn?
No, it was Brian Kerr. What was O.J. Simpson driving in the famous police chase?
A white pickup truck.
I'll give you that. In which state was Bruce Springsteen born?
Seattle.
New Jersey. Who won the FIFA World Cup in 1998?
France.
You talking to me is a famous line from what movie with Robert De Niro?
The Great Taxi Man.
A Taxi Driver. Which musical featured the song Food, Glorious Food?
Pass.
It was Oliver. Santa's Little Helper is a cartoon dog on what TV show?
Huh?
It's The Simpsons. Ipanema and Copacabana Beach are parts of what famous city?
Why?
No, it's Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro.
So it is.
That's unfortunate.
When you're on the line.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's so much harder. When you have me barking down the line at you, it doesn't make it easy at all.
Totally.
Yeah.
Especially when he starts doing his impressions. You talking to me?
Yeah, that was awful.
I know. I was waiting for
my driver. Sorry, Jennifer. My Robert De Niro impression, it isn't exactly on point.
Anyway, listen, Jennifer, you and Daisy have a fantastic day. Thanks for playing.
Cheers, thank
Cheers.
You.
Thanks,
take
Jennifer,
care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Just for the record, it was a score of 4 today, although he could technically throw in the taxi man.
The taxi man, I know, I was harsh moving off that. Taxi man is
good.
You're
talking
enough.
To me.
You're talking
Ain't
to me.
Nobody else here.
Who knew that?
That's sarcasm.
Is it?
No.
I
but anyway.
Still don't get it. Still not getting what it is.
Anyway, it's still 10 to beat on the breakfast table quiz.